Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back, America. World.
Mike is back Tuesday, July 5th. Jason is here, so we have the full gang back together. Well, Jason's definitely here. No more Jay Grizz. Divisional breakdown shows. All the deucers in the house as well. So Brooks is back. You were off for a few days, Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can say that almost all the time. Just okay. Classic Brooks.
Yeah, that's me.
Going yachting.
I was going to say, do you see this situation with Mr. Bezos? do you know what's going on with Bezos? I mean, I assume you do.
Nah, I don't pay attention
to him. You don't follow one billionaire doesn't follow another?
Say he doesn't pay attention to poor people.
Okay. Do you know the Bezos situation?
No, what's going on?
Nobody knows
with
him? This thing?
No.
What's happening with Bezos?
I mean, this is the most megalomillionaire maniac thing going on. He's got a $500 million yacht.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And he built it in like Amsterdam.
I am aware of this situation.
And now the only way to get it to the ocean, because it's so big, is he has to get it out from where they're building it through this area that has a famous historical bridge, and he's paid the city disassemble the bridge. But the city has revolted against
the Amsterdamians.
Exactly. And so they have basically, they've protested, they have organized the throwing of rotten eggs. If he ever attempts to move it, they're going to have an organized group of people just hurl rotten eggs at the yacht.
Rotten eggs, you got to prepare for that weeks in advance.
I don't know. Doesn't an egg go rotten the second it explodes on the side of a boat? Is that fair? Is that fair?
When you're egging a yacht, there's not really a big difference between a freshly laid egg and a rotten one. It's still an egg on your yacht.
And so now they've ceased. So his yacht is stuck. So Brooks, I know you've probably been through something like that. But how do you even endear yourself to these people to let your $500 million yacht out?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's easy. You just pay him off, and he will.
That's a ridiculous situation.
I think you helicopter it out.
Oh.
Oh.
Now you have to build a billion-dollar helicopter
of course.
To get your $500 million yacht out.
It's not a problem. But yes, Brooks is back from another yachting adventure. Al Borland, Kyle in the building as well.
Turn that thing into an airship.
Yeah. And then, I mean, once you build that, though, you're going to be like, this yacht is stupid. I'm just going to live in this helicopter.
That's
now.
True. You build that big of a helicopter, the yacht is dumb. And then, Mike, you're back from Iceland. You had an international journey with a family, which, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Kudos.
How was it?
Magical.
You loved it?
That place is like it's like being on a foreign planet.
Yeah.
It is a, like, yeah, we won't make it an Iceland podcast because I could go on and on and on, but it was fantastic.
It's gorgeous.
Unbelievable.
So that means that
unbelievable
Icelandic people, yes, when they come here, they're like, it was like being on another planet.
We did wonder that a lot. It's like, okay, if you live here, do you just become numb to the fact of what you get to see every day?
It's
or do you recognize?
It's why they were so angry when they had to go to Los Angeles to play the Mighty Ducks.
Yes. Oh, I totally get it now.
That's why they wore black. It was in mourning for the land that they left.
This place is a dump. Where's my waterfalls?
Yeah. That's why Gunnar Stahl had the attitude. All right. Let's go ahead and jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
I'm getting corrected
on the Reg.
I was going to say, what I loved about that discussion most was that he is now Bezos.
Who is?
I thought it was Jeff Bezos.
Oh. I mean,
but either way,
that's what I always thought too.
I don't
for the
care.
Record.
Yeah, Al, be quiet, please.
Bezos is really fun.
No, I was saying I'm getting corrected on the Reg with my Mighty Ducks trivia. It was the Junior Goodwill Games.
Oh,
in Los Angeles.
Of
so
course.
I just got corrected on the spelling of Gunnar Stahl this morning. So Kyle keeping it on lockdown. Here's some fantasy football news for you. The Athletic is reporting it's highly unlikely J.K. Dobbins plays in the preseason. Jason and I were talking about this last week. It has not gone the right direction for any sort of draft confidence.
Right.
In J.K. Dobbins. Jason, you were pretty bullish on Dobbins early in the offseason just with what you believe this offense is going to be about.
Yeah.
And it's not looking great.
I was. I love the talent, and I didn't mind the timeline of a simple ACL injury. There were rumors when it happened that it was more than an ACL, that it might have been an LCL as well. And now with this news, the recovery looking like it is not on the timeline you would have expected, it seems like it's a bigger injury. And, you know, you look at what happens with a lot of players when they come back from a more difficult knee injury. And that first year back, they're not great. Look at Saquon last year, you know, took some time to really get going. If he's not playing in preseason, this is a player that's really hard to trust. And then you look at the depth chart and you're like, okay, Gus Edwards. But
that's what I was going to ask. Do we have a
Gus
report?
Edwards is still aiming for week one despite absence from workouts.
Mm-hmm.
So
literally the Ravens blog on ESPN's headline is Ravens hopeful injured star players will return.
I mean, it's it's so bizarre of all of their actions over the offseason have said these guys are going to be ready. There's no way they want to go into the season again having to pick up guys off of the...
Oh, they don't have to pick anyone up. He's already on the roster, Mike.
Well, I was just saying, like, they went with Devontae Freeman. They went with, like, real guys who were superstars in their time, but they are a bit past their prime now, and they didn't make a move except they picked up Beatty in the draft, but late.
Yeah, it's not Beatty. Oh. Beatty is Tyson Williams here.
Oh, no.
They're going with the other guy on their roster, Mike Davis, former Atlanta Falcons superstar.
But we saw that last year with Devonta Freeman.
Exactly. They're going to play someone like that over, you know, they want the vet who's not going to make mistakes, and that's
upsetting.
So
Lamar's the RB1 again. Got it.
This is a situation.
Yeah,
in Baltimore,
I mean,
to figure out to maybe, I mean, if you're doing some best ball drafts, like, taking the shot, you know, with your last pick or so. And where's Beatty going? Is he even being drafted?
He's undrafted.
Yeah, it's really tough.
That seems to be a mistake.
When I'm doing these drafts, I keep passing J.K. Dobbins by and wondering how far do I let him fall. I have found a lot of failure over the years buying the injury dip. So
right.
I'm letting someone else take him at this point.
Well, and it is quite plainly speculation. We don't know if he hurt the LCL or not. Nobody knows. I mean,
I would hope somebody.
The team. Well, nobody's letting us know. I mean, the team. All the reports from camp. They don't know. The beat reporters covering the team.
Right.
It's just speculation based on the timeline having a problem.
Isn't your job as a beat reporter to like know all the ins and the outs of the
team?
Well,
patient privilege there.
Oh yeah.
So,
the old HIPAA.
Yeah, let's move on.
Wait, we're reporting on this?
Tyler Conklin,
okay,
separating himself as the favorite to start week one in New York for the Jets. It's more worthy of a report in case you were taking a flyer on CJ Uzomah.
Okay, that's fair.
Because he's missing due to injury, so there may not really be a shot to take in the Jets' tight end room, is what I'm saying.
Agreed.
Despite how much money they dumped into the position.
Yeah, 3 years, $20 million for Conklin.
Yeah, 3 years, he's $24 million for C.J. Uzomah. So the Jets run in the organization like they do.
Well, you got to pay him to come there. There's right. a premium.
There's a Zach Wilson tax.
A buyer premium. Not supposed to get a report on Deshaun Watson's case before the week of July 11th. So we're going to keep waiting.
Okay.
You know, it is almost useless to keep speculating on how long the suspension will be because we will get an answer. But
how long do you think?
But
how long until we know?
But, I mean, I think we went from thinking, okay, it sounds like a full season to I'm back in the camp with what Jason said on the last show or a recent show. 6 to 8 games starting to make more sense because they're going to factor in the year he missed.
But he wasn't suspended.
Well, they might take the pay away from those games. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
And let's speculate.
If they take the pay away, then he's and a half.
Can you retroactively take
away? No, you just fine him that amount. I don't know.
Yeah, this sucks
he
for...
He won't care. He has a lot.
Oh, I know, but this sucks for... That I mean everything on that team. Like you don't know in the middle of July. The training camp is a couple weeks away, and you don't know who your starting quarterback is. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's either Watson or Jacoby.
I was gonna say you need Watson rankings and Jacoby rankings.
Yikes!
And then there was some news over the weekend. I'm very sad about this. In fact, I think it's one of these. I agree with one. I don't. But Sleeper did remove position eligibility for Cordarrelle Patterson. They took him away from being a wide receiver. He's running back only. So one of the versatile aspects of Patterson on Sleeper removed. Debo will be wide receiver only. That one makes sense to me. The Patterson one, it's tough just because of how often he lined up as a wide receiver.
Yeah, but Eckler does that stuff too. And I mean, he was only that way last year because he was signed as a wide receiver and then converted into the running back before the season started. So,
yeah, I get it. It's fine. Yeah. 68 targets last year, but lined up as a wideout, not just out of the backfield receptions.
But you need to know going into your draft.
Well, it stinks because a lot of people have drafted too, and they made picks, but you got to make a call at some point in the offseason.
Well, and even though some people have drafted, I know you have drafted and drafted Cordarrelle already this offseason. It's still relatively early. The majority of drafts haven't happened, so better now than later.
and they reserve the right to change it back. If he lines up a wide receiver all year long, they can move it. Any other news? Not a lot of news to talk about.
No, sir.
Nothing? Okay. Let's talk NFC North.
Let's get divisional.
All right, we're jumping into our divisional breakdowns. In fact, the NFC North is the division we ended with last year because we kept delaying the offseason. Like, we delayed this division as long as possible because of all the madness that was going on with Aaron Rodgers last offseason. These shows are essentially, you know, about offseason changes from 2021 to 2022. A lot of new people listening, a lot of news to summarize. And we want to give you an overview for fantasy purposes of the offense last year, how it might function in 2022. Give our takes on what, you know, Vegas is saying about the win totals, who can win the division. That has a, you know, obviously a big impact, winning games on a number of important fantasy football positions. So what's interesting is last NFC North breakdown, last year in the offseason, do you guys remember what tweet was put out by Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers right when we did the show?
Because
it proved prophetic for one of them.
I don't. Was it the goodbye?
It was the last dance.
Yeah, like the picture of the two of them.
It was the last dance with Pippen and Jordan, and it turned out that, you know, Aaron didn't think it was the last dance when he signed his contract, but it was for Devontae Adams, who was traded away. Packers ended up 13-4 last season. Which at the time of our recording in the offseason last year, the Lions were bouncing to like 8 wins or something because they didn't know who was going to be there.
Sure.
But Aaron Rodgers is back. And That means that they're going to be favorites to win the division, 13-4. They continue to deliver. Their win expectation this year, is that 10.5?
That was last year's, just recapping last year.
I got you. Last year's was 10.5. What is this year's?
This year they're at 11.
11. Okay. So you lose Devontae.
I mean, you get to play the Bears twice.
And the Lions twice.
Yeah.
So there's four.
Yeah.
Pace of play last year, 32nd in the NFL, dead last in pace of play, but 10th in points per game. So very efficient offense, had the lead a ton. You know, only 28% of Rodgers' pass attempts came while they were trailing. So this was a team that won a lot of football games. And when it comes to fantasy, you lose Devontae Adams, you lose Marquez Valdez-Scantling from the wide receiver room, you add Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
That's not an even swap, just so you know.
No, it definitely is not, but everything for the Packers, it's the wide receiver room, the Lizard King in, but like, I mean, this is, aside from, you know, Lazard and Cobb, I get, yeah, you do have to factor in Cobb, but he did not look, you know, truly like himself last year as he's getting older. But this is a really new wide receiver room of who will the actual starters be. They trade up to go get Christian Watson in the second round. And how much does that affect Aaron Rodgers? Like, that's my biggest takeaway. I know people want to, well, who's going to be the wide receiver one? And we can argue over that, but it's like, all those guys are going late in drafts, and Aaron Rodgers has been such a staple and so consistent of greatness for fantasy football. Can he really continue that greatness if he doesn't have a true dominant number one wide receiver?
Two or more passing touchdowns in 15 of 17 starts, Jason. Aaron Rodgers right now being drafted as the quarterback 11 as we sort out the running back room.
Yeah, that's too high for me. Obviously, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's going to get it done. They're going to win games. But when you lose, we talked about this with regards to Patrick Mahomes and the loss of Tyreek Hill. But on average, quarterbacks that lose a wide receiver one lose about 2 fantasy points per game over the last decade. He's going to go down a little bit, and he finishes the quarterback 6, and that was on the back of a really high 7% touchdown rate. So without Devontae Adams, he's someone that I've seen him slip to really, really late in a couple best balls. I will still grab him. I have him on a few rosters. But as the quarterback 11, I'm taking someone with more upward trajectory.
I am warming. By the way, his career touchdown rate, what is that?
Say, it's
got to be about, close to that.
It was 6% before the last 6.4%. 6.1 before the last 2 years. 6.4 if you include the last 2 years where he was 9 and 7.1, I believe.
Yeah, I am warming on Lazard leading the way. I don't know what that will translate into. I think that'll depend on touchdown totals. But I would definitely favor Lazard the way they're talking about him, and then having competition that's a rookie, Sammy Watkins, you know, Romeo Dubs, Randall Cobb, the aged Randall Cobb, who I do think will be involved. I mean, tried and true targets, like the relationship that they have will lead to targets. And Tonyan won't be back and ready to start the season. So you're going to be taking some gambles in the wide receiver. Like, there'll be a team to target in a good matchup to try to find that non-Lazard option and just steal some points if you get it right on a certain week.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, I still like Lazard's draft price right now, considering his biggest competition for targets in that system will be the Lizard King and a second-round rookie, a fourth-round rookie. Is Amari Rodgers going to be a factor at all? I mean, it seems like probably not, considering he just did nothing last
year. There's so many names that we just said.
Yes.
That create a problem for drafting players not named Alan Lazard.
Yeah, it is one of those situations where when you're looking for a breakout candidate, you can't have a much better situation than one of these nebulous wide receiver cores where you're not sure who it is, so nobody costs a ton, and you have a first ballot Hall of Famer. Pick who you think it's going to be and take a shot at one of these guys in your draft and move on. But I mean, when you know, you talk about a lot, Andy, trying to find someone that you can drop week one. If you draft at the end of your draft that you kind of know, is this player good or not? Is he in the offense the way we hope he is? I think taking a shot on any one of these guys, Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard.
Yeah, Watkins and Cobb fit that to me, not the rookies. The rookies don't fit the week one drop scenario, but Cobb and Watkins, just in case. You know, right. Now Watkins, we already know, is going to have three touchdowns in week one. So maybe he's a two-weeker. But, yeah, it's kind of nebulous. Now, I think the biggest beneficiary, you know, we've seen statistically in the past, when you lose that number one target, vacated targets, they do go to a running back position very often, the running back position very often, and there isn't a much better pass catcher out of the backfield than Aaron Jones. So I have high expectations for Aaron Jones. He had the sixth most running back receptions already last year, and we saw the playoff game. It was literally every target was Devontae or Aaron Jones. I think Dylan and Jones will be on the field a lot together because they're going to manufacture offense. That's what they do. They figure it out in Green Bay.
Yep.
So he'd be my – like, I feel so confident in Aaron Jones that I'm more than comfortable having him as my RB1. If I want to go wide receiver in the first round of the draft and come back and get Aaron Jones.
Yeah, we've seen Aaron Jones climb a lot in best ball. So right now in sleeper, he's at the 2-3 turn. He's the last pick in the second round. I expect by the time August comes around, he's going to be in the middle of the second. I love Aaron Jones. You know, I talked a lot about DeAndre Swift and his upside in that, like, middle of the second area. Those are the two guys I want in the second round more than anyone, Aaron Jones and DeAndre Swift.
Quick moment here for A.J. Dillon. Give me the highest potential finish you see for him so our listeners know what to expect, you know, from the upside of A.J. Dillon.
The upside is baked in to an injury to Aaron Jones. If Aaron Jones goes down, A.J. Dillon becomes a top 10 running back for fantasy. So I think this is a guy that his median projection to me is not otherworldly. He's a low-end RB2 to me, maybe a middle RB2, but his upside is tremendous because Aaron Jones is not, you know, the most durable, big-bodied back out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I expect Dillon will be a low-end running back too. And it's not just that, you know, if Aaron Jones, like, misses a ton of time, then A.J. Dillon's great. Aaron Jones will miss a few games. That's going to happen. If you, in those weeks, you're going to be even more thrilled that you have Dillon on your team.
Aaron Jones is such a great best ball player.
Yeah, we all agree on Jones.
He disappears, and then you'll get all of the great games. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll jump into Minnesota.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings. Last year, 8-9. The win expectation before the year was 8.5. So,
all right,
they nailed it. More one-score games last year than any team ever. Tied the all-time record for one-possession games. 14 of their first 15 games were one-possession games. So
that's
this
wild.
Is a team that could have had a vastly different season because they went 6-8 in those. So, you know, it was close. They were on the edge. They made a change at the, you know, head coach position. Kevin O'Connell is the new head coach. And so they needed something to get them over the hump. And everything we've heard so far this offseason is very, I think, exciting and intriguing for
sure.
Minnesota's offense because they're reporting a much pass happier scheme. You have one of the best, if not the best, pure wide receivers in football in Justin Jefferson. And you have a very capable, albeit hyper-efficient, quarterback in Kirk Cousins. You don't know whether pass happy will translate to those same efficiency stats where he protects the football and kind of, you know, isn't put in that prime time spot all the time.
Yeah, he's been known to buckle under the pressure a time or two. But I actually love the Vikings. This is an offense that I'm heavily targeting right now in my drafts because I think that they are better this year than they were last year for fantasy football. I've got Kirk Cousins right now as a top 10 quarterback, and he is someone that is as unexciting as anyone in a draft. So you want to get him late wherever you are in any format, you can get him late. You know, when you have a great receiving corps, first of all, they're getting Irv Smith back. And whether or not you think Irv Smith Jr., Big Irv, is a good tight end flyer for fantasy, I do, but maybe you don't. It still helps the offense to get a young, big target back. And K.J. Osborne, these two guys to me, Irv Smith and K.J. Osborne, are young players who are going to elevate their games and fit right in with three other already known amazing pieces in the offense of Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook. So you've got a really good chance at a high-powered offense here with a new offensive-minded head coach just kind of unleashing them.
Kirk Cousins is more exciting now. Where, like, we know who he is as a quarterback. Well, I guess we're all pretty divided. Like, I think that Kirk Cousins is a good starting quarterback that can win games for your team and produces for fantasy. So the past two seasons we've seen 516 attempts and 561 attempts. If that number goes up, like the way that they are talking, you know, about, like Andy mentioned, all the players are very excited that Zimmer is about as curmudgeon-y and it will be established as you can possibly get in the NFL. And with him out and this new system, Kirk Cousins could be one of those surprise quarterbacks where you're like, holy crap, Kirk Cousins was the quarterback six on the year.
Yeah, if you were rolling your eyes at how long we're talking about Kirk Cousins, that's simply because you forget. You forget when the pass attempts were much higher in Washington. He was the quarterback five on a season, almost 5,000 yards.
Years.
He hasn't thrown for more than 4,200 and something yards ever in Minnesota. So he was almost 5,000 in 2016. He was the number five quarterback in 2017. So it is within him to give you a fantasy season that vastly outperforms his average draft position. So that's why he's getting talked about, and he has the weapons, like Jason said. And Dalvin Cook, look, I'm not worried about Dalvin Cook just because the offense passes the ball 40 more times than they did last year. He's too good and too important to this offense and too good of a pass catcher for me to really, you know, I'll throw shade on him due to injury risk, but not based on offense that may be better.
Yeah, once you get past, I think, four running backs in this year's draft, when you get to the fifth running back, there is a group of about eight guys you can make an argument for, and Dalvin Cook could easily be the fifth pick overall, and that could end up being a great pick. He could drop to the turn and still be a better pick.
Last year, Dalvin Cook was tied for the fourth most carries inside the 15. Inside the five. He had 15 carries.
It was so weird.
That turned into three touchdowns. Meanwhile, you have Damian Harris. He had 15, turned into eight touchdowns. Antonio Gibson, 15 carries inside the five, turned into six touchdowns.
He had 16 touchdowns the year before. He had 13 touchdowns the year before that.
Right. The bad luck that he received inside the five speaks to it. And I would expect him to – he'll be right around there again. You know, if he gets 15 carries inside the five again, that's not a surprising thing. But what would be surprising is if he stayed at three rushing touchdowns on those attempts. So I expect Dalvin Cook to bounce back in a big way there.
Injuries included, Adam Thielen finished 61st at the wide receiver position in 2019, then jumped up to 8 in 2020, down to 28th last year, missed four games, I believe. But double-digit touchdowns in two consecutive seasons. you know, you combine pass happy with a player that has a nose for the end zone. Are you avoiding him because the ceiling isn't what it once was, or are you monitoring that draft position and taking your shot if he gets to a place you like him?
I find that I am avoiding him in redraft leagues and targeting him in best ball leagues. I think he's going to be very touchdown dependent, and so you're going to have weeks that are fine, but he is no longer the high volume 150 target guy that was a fantasy gold mine. That's Justin Jefferson on this team now. So when you get around the goal line, he can still take people out of their shoes, lay them on the ground, and catch a wide open touchdown. And I want those on a best ball league where I get, you know, I don't have to make the start sit decisions.
Now, he's not being drafted like that former Adam Thielen. He's the wide receiver 30 right now.
Yeah, that's why I'm in. I mean, a seventh round wide receiver that has the potential to finish in the top 24 and score over 10 touchdowns. I'm in on that because he is not your wide receiver too. If you're drafting him in the seventh round, unless you've drafted like all running backs to start.
He was the wide receiver 7 through the first 12 weeks last year, which is kind of wild, but obviously on the back of touchdowns. Win total this year for Minnesota, if you haven't looked at it, do you want to take a guess?
Ooh, I have not looked at it. I would imagine it went up from last year, so I'll say 9.5.
Okay, Mike, do you want to take a shot?
I was going to go with 9.
It is 9.
Oh.
Then I'll take the over.
You like them to win.
Some confidence.
With a half-game confidence.
I want you to put the word confidence out of your mind as we move on here.
Yeah. Let's go deeper.
The Chicago Bears, 6-11 last season. They went into the season with a preseason Vegas win total of 7.5. 3-3 in one score games. Matt Nagy, sayonara. No longer a part of this organization. Matt Eberflus, Luke Getsy. It's a new regime for the 27th ranked in points per game Chicago Bears, 24th in total yards, 23rd in pass attempts, 30th in passing yards, 29th in passing touchdowns. Anemic is a good word.
Sure.
Didn't throw their 10th touchdown pass until December. So anemic might not be strong enough.
It's not good.
And they went and they said, hey,
we can make it work.
We're going to stick with what we got. We're really not going to invest in free agency. We're going to say goodbye to Jimmy Graham and Allen Robinson. And look, their offensive line is ranked 31st heading into the season, which is down from where they were in the offseason last year. So if you wanted to say all the cards are stacked against a certain player, more than maybe anybody in the National Football League, that's the place that Justin Fields finds himself in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you compare that to Zach Wilson, right? Like,
yeah.
Two guys drafted last year, and one team has done everything they can to build around him, help the offensive line, draft a top 10 wide receiver. The other has said, well, we're a year away. And we're going to tear down to the nubs and see
maybe,
if he can.
Maybe two, Jason.
Maybe. But let you know, one of
we're
the nice
half
things.
Half decade away.
So there are a couple really nice takeaways here from the Bears offense for fantasy football, though. Even though it is bad and I expect their win total to be bad, I saw like almost 90% of all the money on Chicago was on the under.
That's because they're at 6.5 right now.
Yeah. In your bra. I mean, they project to be a really bad team in all phases of the game. But for fantasy purposes,
different discussion.
You have Justin Fields, who his value comes from his legs. The first few games last year, he wasn't really running the ball much. They kind of switched that over. I mean, they had built this system for Andy Dalton last year and then kind of stuck with that when Fields got in. So you still have hope that Justin Fields can be a 800-yard rushing quarterback. If he is, he's going to be fine for fantasy. He'll have 7, 8, 9 rushing touchdowns and throw a handful. You saw last year Jalen Hurts, not a lot of weapons and not phenomenal play, still be good for fantasy because of that. So that's the hope. It's a little tough for me to love Justin Fields, and in single quarterback leagues, I'm not really drafting him in super flex or best ball. I've commonly grabbed him as a later round guy. But the player that I'm excited about, maybe is not the best in the world, but Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
When you look at over the last several years of the tight ends who are relevant for fantasy in an impactful way, it's because they're one of the top two targets on their team. And there's no chance, in my view, that he's not one of the top two targets. Jimmy Graham is gone, and he was already a big part of this. It's Darnell Mooney.
And he was stealing all those touchdowns and $100 from you last year.
Oh my gosh, I got rich on Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, so I do think Cole Kmet is someone who is talented. He was highly drafted for the year that he came out. And
the concern with him is going – I agree with everything you said, 100%. And I like him as a sleeper tight end. But he couldn't find the end zone last year, and I don't know how – look, we just said they didn't throw 10 passing touchdowns till December. So if he doesn't occasionally just jaunt into the painted area – every once in a while, you could have I see the PPR Cole Kmet. I see 6 for 48 and no touchdown Cole Kmet. And that would be the only downside is you have an offense that is going to score in the bottom 10.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. The touchdowns is – if he ends the season with 3 touchdowns, he won't be great for fantasy. If you give the 3 Jimmy Graham touchdowns over to Cole Kmet and he ends up with 6 touchdowns, then you're
going to be difference.
Pretty happy.
Having 93 targets last year, like he was essentially an 18% target share player, for that to turn into 0 receiving touchdowns is a major anomaly statistically. So I'm in on Cole Kmet. He's very interesting.
What you didn't know, and I don't know if you guys had seen this, but camera wasn't on him a lot of the time, but Jimmy Graham would trip him right around the goal line.
Total grandpa trick.
Yeah, right at the one.
Your shoes tied. Except
your
he actually tied his shoes together.
He just tied his shoes for him?
His shoes were tied together.
They're nice and tight.
Meanwhile, that couldn't happen to Jimmy Graham because they're Velcro.
Right.
Right. Man, we are – it's a multi-year ruthless attack on Jimmy Grandpa. And
how much older than Jimmy Graham are we? Like multiple years?
You call him Jimmy Grandma?
No, I don't know.
He said Jimmy. He actually used his real name.
Oh, did he? How old is Jimmy Graham?
He's 98.
No.
Yes. Nice.
Okay, so we're not older.
Give me the real age.
He's 35, so we are 3, 2, and 1 years older. We'll just
great. Okay. Hey, I want to talk.
That guy's so old. What a loser.
He could still do our job at his age.
Oh, for sure.
I want to talk about Darnell Mooney for a second.
Yes.
Expectations. My concern with Darnell Mooney is that I think you're going to get exactly what you got over the last 8 games of last season, which is, look, he was on 172 target, 95 reception pace during that time. 1,200 yards sounds great. But he had 4 games in that 8-game span that were great, awesome, and 4 where you would have regretted putting him out there on the field, 49, 83, 25, I guess you were okay, and then 43. So he had 4 games that you were thrilled with, 4 games that were, okay. And that's probably what it's going to be like this year for Chicago. Putting Justin Fields in a position to succeed means using the legs that he has, which takes away from the receiving options, and then using David Montgomery, who is a high-volume, workhorse type of back. So I don't mind Mooney at 32, but I'm nervous. And he was my guy last year, so I love the talent. I'm just nervous about the consistency.
Well, that's really what should be telling. I mean, our history of pre-predicting talent a year too early on these my guys is pretty good. So no, I'm fine with Mooney. I mean, if you're drafting him, you know, him and Adam Thielen are going in the 7th round, right? I would so much rather take Darnell Mooney, who's the one for his offense, who projects to have 140 plus targets. You know, I think he's still getting better. I just prefer upside when I'm drafting in the 7th round versus elderly.
Is there really upside though?
I think there is. I mean, well, last year. So here's in some interesting numbers for a player comparison. Last year, Darnell Mooney, over 80 receptions, 1,055 yards. Oh, thank you.
Okay, all right. Jackknife that in there. Go on.
And 4 touchdowns. Terry McLaurin, who we all love, as a player, 77 for 1,053 yards and 5 touchdowns. One of those players is being drafted in the 4th, and one of them is being drafted in the 7th.
Sure. Yeah, compared to Terry McLaurin, sure. And but yes, we like him as a player, but we don't like him, or at least I don't, as a fantasy player. And if you like Terry McLaurin as a fantasy player, you've got a problem because it hasn't been a good ride. So that's a good example of what can go wrong. But I'd rather take it in the 7th.
I'm into a wide receiver in the 7th who can see 16 targets in one game.
Give me some more names around him because maybe I'm
– In the 7th?
Yeah. What are some names going around Darnell Mooney? Do you have any, Kyle?
Yeah, I've got him here.
I know you said Thielen, but what
yeah,
else?
Yeah, so Thielen, Drake London, Treylon Burks are the two right on the either side of Darnell
yeah,
Mooney.
Yeah, Mooney.
Juju.
Mooney.
Devonta Smith.
Mooney.
So there you go. Now, Adam Thielen. Who would you rather draft Adam Thielen over Mooney?
Probably. Because Mooney's not going to end up the – I mean, Thielen had a 12-game run where he was the wide receiver 7.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get that out of Justin Fields and Darnell Mooney.
The wide receivers – currently in the ADP, it comes down to Adam Thielen or Darnell Mooney is who I would be drafting.
Let's move on to the Detroit Lions. And well, no, just kidding. Give me a sentence or two on David Montgomery. Because I've seen people that go all the way, they swing the pendulum so crazily where they're like still talking about Khalil Herbert stealing reps from David Montgomery. I am extremely confident in him. Where are you guys?
Yeah, I think he's the running back 15. I think his volume is secure. Where he's being drafted is like the 3-4 turn. The value is fine there. If you want to load up on some wide receivers and have, you know, if you grab two wide receivers in the first three rounds and you can grab David Montgomery as your running back 2, I love, that's what he is for fantasy. And if you draft him with that in mind, I think it's great strategy.
I think that by the end of the year, David Montgomery will be fine, but at his current ADP and with the situation of the potential for things to go really, really bad for David Montgomery are there, and like, you know, he's like one spot in front of James Conner. So I would much rather be drafting Conner there, and so I don't have the confidence that you guys do.
Okay. Detroit, 3-13 last year, but man, that 3-13-1 record, they fought hard for it. They did. They didn't have the personnel, but Dan Campbell got his guys going. The preseason win total expectation was 5 last year. Do you want to take a guess at where it's at this year for the Detroit Lions?
6.5.
Oh, I'll take the under on that.
Oh, you're wrong.
6.5.
Oh!
It was 6. It was bet up. So I would take the over. I think they'll win 7 games.
Okay.
And, you know, they're a very interesting fantasy football story to look at because, you know, 25th in points per game, 25th in pace of play. Garbage time is something that they spend a decent amount of the week in garbage time.
Is it garbage time when it's still the second quarter?
I guess you're asking still a real question.
That's still the game.
I don't think any garbage time in reality can exist outside the fourth quarter. That's my definition.
I don't know that it's garbage time ever if the team knows they're not going to win, but they're just doing their best. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think the other team has to be wanting to play a prevent-style defense to qualify it as garbage time.
Well, then no garbage time for the Detroit Lions.
Just very pass happy.
They were a very, very bad defense last year. 31st in points allowed. So to add to the Dan Campbell, you know, love, 4th best against the spread, but only 3 wins. So they fought. There were closer games than what a lot of people expected. And this offseason, DeAndre Swift's going to come into the year healthy. We hope he stays that way. Amon-Ra St. Brown ended the season as a playoff king.
He's so confusing.
I'm so sad to hear you say that because my whole thing here is I have no idea what to do with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So you're sad that we agree?
Yes, I need like.
Why are you sad that we agree?
I'm sad because I want the answer, and I was hoping you could provide it.
I have a different answer than both of you according to our rankings.
Okay.
Because you both have translated. You put your confusion into the computer, and it spit it out 30th and 33rd.
Okay.
So Mike at 30, Jason at 33.
That sounds pretty Good. That sounds accurate.
I put the same amount of confusion into it, but I got number 19 out.
Ooh.
Okay.
So I think, you know, Goff is capable, Amon-Ra is capable of, you know, 10 targets a game type of numbers. I mean, we know Jameson Williams is going to be a slow developing situation. I mean, how many total targets, if you were to go bet it, how many total targets on the year is Jameson Williams getting?
I think the line...
Is it 50?
I would take the under on that line.
So, you know, that... It's going to be Amon-Ra as a primary target. DJ Chark is not going to steal a million targets in Correct. This offense. So I think from a PPR perspective, Amon-Ra will volume his way into the top 20 at the end of the year. Now, this is not to say you get the playoff king version.
Oh, he was so good.
But this was a rookie. So you kind of throw out the beginning of the year to a degree anyways.
Yeah.
And you try to look at this fairly, and I think that, you know, four or five targets coming in garbage time most weeks alone is going to pile up.
He should be the chain mover. I mean, you can't really do what he did on the field and look as good as he did doing it without
as long of a run.
Without being capable. That being said, during that stretch, the majority of his success came without T.J. Hockenson and without DeAndre Swift, who they could easily be the first two targets ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown, but Amon-Ra should be in that mix. And to start the season, and that's for draft purposes, you know, if you're talking about your home leagues, your redraft, your keepers, the beginning of the year is far more important than the end of the year for drafts. Jameson Williams not going to be there to start the season. So I do think Amon-Ra, I've statted him out for the season, but I, you know, based on everything that's being said, he should be drafted a little bit ahead of that ranking because he should be a stronger start to the year than at the end.
And I'm not trying to make a my guy case for Amon-Ra. That's not where I sit. I'm not extremely excited about it. I think he's the kind of player that may lose some of his value over the back half of the year as Jameson Williams becomes involved. But I mean, I have him for 100 catches.
Sure.
And, you know, he had 90 last year, so I have him for 106. And 100 catches, you know, you're in a half-point, full-point league. It's going to add up pretty quickly.
It's, I mean, six straight weeks of double-digit targets.
His target pace was like 190 in that
like,
stretch.
It's so absurd, but and that story has been laid out of, you know, the absence of DeAndre Swift, T.J. Hockenson, of like, it Amon-Ra, it comes down to, for me, how much do you actually really believe in the player? Because we've seen, you know, in the past, we've seen guys who actually aren't that great do things like this. They catch fire at a particular time when their opportunity was incredibly high. He was a fourth-round pick, but, you know, out of USC, and to do those things, he has to have at least some ability, but can he replicate anything close to that? I would bet against that.
Yeah, he was 89th percentile in our explosiveness metric that you see on the website, player profiles. That's the place he excelled, 4.5 140. But he was just shifty. I mean, he just found open spots on the field, and that's a hard-to-quantify thing. When you go back and watch the tape, as the play developed, the defense around Amon-Ra started to disappear. Hockenson, DeAndre Swift, both interesting for fantasy purposes. Jason really went against the grain when we went to Detroit and selected DeAndre Swift as his breakout pick, but for good reason. RB7 from weeks 1 through 11. You know, you can – there's only a handful of players that could actually have – could push, you know, 80-plus receptions, 90-plus receptions at the running back position. He's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your Austin Eckler that, you know, I've seen Austin Eckler often drafted at the number three spot this year. Obviously a much, much better offense, more touchdown upside with Eckler than with DeAndre Swift, but it's a similar style of player, a guy who is truly – game script proof because he is so involved in the receiving game. And so I would think that DeAndre Swift, if he's in the second round, is just, he's a great pick. Him, Aaron Jones, I talked about it earlier, guys that can catch the ball and are extremely involved in their offense and are very, very talented.
And going to be losing.
Sure. I mean, keep dumping it off in garbage time, but when you know, it's like when you're looking at these running backs that are kind of slipping a little bit, are they, what is their core talent? And DeAndre Swift is an extremely good running back and great in the receiving game.
This is where fantasy players can get really stupid sometimes. And, you know, if you're obsessive, if you're listening here, it's July, which, by the way, three shows a week starting right now.
Oh, no.
July is here. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday shows. August, it's coming, Mike. Prepare yourself. Get the jet log over with.
The jet log?
The jet log. It's where you...
I didn't say log, did I?
Oh, yeah.
I've got nods from the deucers.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like that.
Look, you might have had a jet log as well.
I dropped one in that plane.
Yeah, that's a jet log.
Did you? You had a plane poop?
I didn't.
Oh.
Sorry. It was just too good.
Have you had a plane poop?
Oh, I have wrecked an airplane bathroom.
No.
When you got to go.
But you're not dropping into any water, man.
I don't care. I will not. I would.
No, you won't. Because you won't even.
I will sew that thing up.
We have different. Inner workings, like when I gotta
poop sensibilities.
When I gotta go, like I am miles up in the sky, and there's nowhere else for me to go. I am not afraid to rock
to
one
wreck
in turbulence.
One? So I gotta dig in with your jet lag here.
Yeah.
Was there? Because oftentimes there's a waiting queue.
Sure.
Outside the door. Do you happen to remember when you wrecked this bathroom whether there was a queue?
I do not remember.
Because that would be
opening that door and looking in the eyes of the
do
other
you say
person.
Jet lag alert?
You know, you got to go full Ace Ventura. Just do
not.
All right, here's three wrap-up questions for you on the NFC North. Who wins the division?
I will take the chalk.
I'm going to stick with Green Bay.
I'll go with Green Bay.
Although I'd love to pick Minnesota, but I did that last year and I was dumb.
Yeah, I do think Green Bay wins it, but betting-wise, the Vikings to win it is a solid bet at the odds right now.
Toughest player to project in the division as a whole?
Amon-Ra, for me.
For me, it's probably Alan Lazard.
Yeah, I think it is Amon-Ra. I'm going to go back and look at my Lions after this show.
Who's the sneakiest player to add? Maybe a dynasty ad in this division. Do you take a shot at like a Romeo Dubs? Is that a sneaky addition?
I mean, sure. When you're talking dynasty and you have 30 players on your team.
Wide receiver for the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, he was a fourth rounder, which Amon-Ra was again. But the hit rate for those guys is so low. Yeah,
dynasty waivers, Amari Rodgers or someone.
Yeah, like the forgotten Packers who could just be sitting on the waiver wire. Or... Yeah, Velus Jones for the Chicago Bears. Is he as good as the Bears think, or is he as good as
everyone else?
The
thinks.
Rest of the entire world thinks he is.
By the way, to finish the thought before apparently I said jet log, which spiraled us into our once a show necessary poop joke. I was going to say fantasy players, we can get kind of dumb. If you're listening around this time of year, you get used to staring at different ADPs and you just lock it in your brain and then you're afraid to divert. I was going to say, like, your point about Eckler and DeAndre Swift, like, if you have more conviction about DeAndre Swift, drafting him where you would draft Eckler, there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
Go back and look at every single ADP and then how the season ends. Like, it's never chalk. It's never like that, even apart from injuries. Yes, there's injuries that mix in every season. There are stupid, stupid picks that we make or players that we let drop, and then all of a sudden, I mean, look, Stephon Diggs in the fifth round. If you had conviction to take him in the third, you might have been laughed at in your draft. Be willing to be laughed at if you've done the research and you have conviction about a player, and be willing to take DeAndre Swift. Look, you're not going to get Swift and Eckler. You're not going to get them both in your draft. And just because you draw the fourth pick or the fifth pick or the sixth pick, you know, you're probably not going to end up with both of those guys. So if you have to make a call at six, and you can't trade down.
Man, at six, that's where I'm tempted to try to get both. You can take Eckler, and you hope Swift gets back to you.
Whew. You probably don't get Eckler at six.
That's fair.
So
you
if you're in the Eckler
don't.
Spot,
no,
maybe
right.
It's four or three. But I'm just saying, like, be willing to step out if you are sure on a player, and don't freak out about ADP.
The name I'll throw out to continue the previous conversation, I want to just throw out KJ Osborne as someone that I think is worth a late round flyer. Obviously, Adam Thielen, he's been great, but he is getting up there in age. If they open this offense up, everything we've seen from KJ Osborne has been good on the field. He's a young player who's really had some flashy moments. If he gets the opportunity, I think he could be a good fantasy asset.
All right. That is going to do it for today's episode, NFC South on Thursday, another show on Saturday. And if you want the Footcast, our exclusive weekly episode for the Foot Clan supporters, you can go to jointhefoot.com. Check out our community. That'll get you access to Foot Clan leagues. Like I said, the bonus episode of the show and a ton of other perks, including discounts on the Ultimate Draft Kit. So check it out, jointhefoot.com. That'll do it for Icelandic Mike, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway, and the Deucers.
Yeah.
We'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.